You're listening to the Black Eagles podcast.
Ortayı yaptı. Sekti. Gol! 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 Maç boyunca durdu, şimdi attı. Aboubakar attı. Aboubakar, Aboubakar, Aboubakar.
Hello everyone and welcome back to the Black Eagles podcast. My name is Kaan Bayazit, and as you know, we didn't have a game this weekend as all the Turkish clubs active in Europe had their matches from the weekend postponed. That means Beşiktaş, Fenerbahçe, Galatasaray and Adana Demirspor, who would have been our opponents this weekend, did not have to play a match. Of course, we played on Thursday away at Dynamo Kiev, a very important match in the UEFA Europa Conference League playoff round, the last round before the group stages. It was a very important game for us. I already explained why that is last week. European football is very important for us. Getting coefficients is very important, as we haven't done well in Europe the last couple of years. We have barely been active in Europe the last couple of years, to be fair. So it's very important for Beşiktaş to get those points so that we can start building our coefficients up again. The whole reason we are playing against a strong side as Dynamo Kiev right now is simply because of our coefficients being as low as it is. So if we want to have good odds in group stage draws and also qualifier draws, then we need to build up at coefficients. So it's very important that we get to the group stages and continue our winning ways. Beşiktaş have now played 5 games in Europe this season and they have won all 5. That includes Thursday's match against Dynamo Kiev, as I'm sure you know. Now let's get into the game a little bit before we talk about other stuff. There are some updates I have. There isn't a lot of transfer news this week, but of course keep in mind that the Turkish transfer window is open until the 15th of September. Contrary to the big leagues in Europe, who mostly close on the 1st of September, that goes for England, Germany, Italy, Spain, and the Netherlands. The top leagues in Europe mostly close on September 1st. A couple of leagues, such as Sweden and Norway and stuff, close on the 31st already. But most of the top leagues in Europe close on the 1st of September. Belgium closes on the 6th, Greece closes on the 11th, Russia on the 14th, and Turkey on the 15th. So we've still got quite a few weeks left of transfer speculation for the Turkish league, whereas in Europe, in the big leagues, in England and stuff, they're already approaching deadline day. But that, of course, enables the Turkish clubs to potentially pick up a good player from the bargain bin from the Premier League, for example. That is those types of opportunities that Beşiktaş usually wait for. And that is why I don't expect a lot of movement in the coming days in the transfer window. And unfortunately, that also means I don't really have anything hot off the press in terms of transfer news. So let's focus on the game against Dynamo Kiev. Beşiktaş played away in Bucharest, has to be said. It wasn't really in Kiev or in Ukraine, of course, due to the war between Ukraine and the invaders Russia. So we can't really expect that to be played there. It was the 11th time that both teams met in UEFA competition. I already went over the history between Dynamo Kiev and Beşiktaş last week. It definitely wasn't in our favor. But on Thursday, we changed that history a little bit and got away with a very good win. In fact, a very interesting stat about Beşiktaş facing Dynamo Kiev away. Beşiktaş had never scored a goal away at Dynamo Kiev before Thursday, let alone get a victory. The best result we ever gotten was a 0-0 draw in 2002 when Beşiktaş managed to eliminate Dinamo Kiev in the UEFA Cup, and ultimately Beşiktaş went through to the quarterfinals where they went out against Lazio Roma. So let's get to this game. The first 15 minutes, it really was all Dinamo Kiev. There weren't a lot of chances. It took until the 13th minute of the match before there was really an attempt at goal. In the 13th minute, Dinamo Kiev won a free kick on the right-hand side. Shaparenko played it short and Vanislav Vanat took a shot from distance, but it didn't really trouble Mert. I'm just going to run down some of the highlights of this game. In the 20th minute, Beşiktaş for the first time managed to play out from under the pressure. Really, it was excruciating in the first 50 minutes. Dinamo Kiev clearly intended to try and get an early goal, but Beşiktaş defended really well. And in the 20th minute, the first time that Beşiktaş managed to peek their nose at the goal, and it nearly was a goal. It was the best chance up until that moment. Vincent Aboubakar had a great chance. It was Jetson who did really well, winning the ball from Shaparenko in the midfield. I said that with a really American accent, I kind of feel like Shaparenko. And then Sali plays it immediately through to Aboubakar, who plays it on to Onur on the right-hand side. Onur puts it back into the center and Aboubakar tries something really nifty with his back heel, almost beating goalkeeper Bouchan, but he makes a very good save. The ball falls to Sali in the rebound and somehow he manages to put it wide. I don't know how he managed to miss that. But that was in the 20th minute. Beşiktaş really should have taken the lead there, but Sali unfortunately puts it wide on the rebound. In the 36th minute, Rozier nearly finds Aboubakar, but one of their defenders manages to put it out into a corner. Then in the 39th minute, Onur Bulut actually manages to find Muleka in the box with a good cross. Muleka heads it towards goal, but the ball is blocked by an arm of a Dinamo Kiev defender. I believe, again, it was Popov, and the referee points to the spot. There was a VAR check to make sure if there was a handball. It took like a minute or so before the penalty was allowed to be taken, but VAR did not call over the referee, so the penalty stood, and Vincent Aboubakar stepped up to the plate and scored. So first goal for Beşiktaş away at Dinamo Kiev, scored by Vincent Aboubakar from the penalty spot. A little bit of revenge for Aboubakar for getting sent off all those years ago against Kiev. In the 47th minute, this is in the second half, Dinamo Kiev started off really well in the second half and basically equalized straight away. Dubinchak gave us quite some problems. And puts in a really good cross towards, it was going towards Shaparenko, I think, but Hadži Ahmetović gets to it first, heads it clear, but the clearance really wasn't good enough, and Karavayev manages to control the ball really well with his first touch, and then just slots it home with his second touch. Really good goal by Karavayev, but unfortunately for Dinamo Kiev, it was disallowed after a VAR check. There was an offside in the build-up, and therefore this goal did not count. So in the 56th minute, Beşiktaş had a chance to widen their margin, so to speak. Sali played it in on the right side to Rozier, who puts in a center towards Onur, who had popped up in the box. Onur laid it off with his head towards Aboubakar, who controlled the ball, tried to dribble two of Dinamo Kiev's defenders, goes down. Eyes are on the referee at that moment. Is there a second penalty going to be called? But Muleka picks up the loose ball and shoots it wide. No penalty given. In the replay, it didn't really look like there was all that much going on. So I think that was the right decision by the referee not to award a penalty there. Then in the 59th minute, Karavayev lures in Zainodimov on the left, who had come in at halftime to replace an injured Artur Masuaku. More on that later. Then with a back heel pass to Bujalski, he plays a really good 1-2, sets himself up on the right wing to go down the touchline and reaches the back line, pulls it back towards Shaparenko, and Shaparenko with a fantastic finish. I do have to say, I think there was way too much space in the center there, nobody covering Shaparenko. I think Sali probably should have stuck with him, but he was too far into the box. Most of Beşiktaş's players were only looking at the ball, and then when it got cut back to Shaparenko, he had all the time and room in the world to put in a really good shot, and he beats Mert pretty easily 1-1 in the 59th minute. Then just a couple of minutes later, in the 63rd minute, Beşiktaş win a corner on the right-hand side. Amir Hadžiahmetović steps up and puts it in, and Omar Colley gets to on the end of it and heads it home, and he puts Beşiktaş back 1-2 up. It's his third goal in the last week. Of course, one of those goals was very controversially ruled off for the ball being out. We already spoke plenty of that last week. But, you know, three goals for Omar Colley in two games. Only two count, unfortunately. If all three had counted, we would have been with the maximum of the points in the league. But unfortunately, now we only have 4 out of 6. Anyway, that lead didn't last very long, because in the 65th minute, it was again Bujalski who caused a lot of troubles for Beşiktaş. But initially, it was Dubracek who came rushing down the left. Bujalski then came running in from the center of the pitch, and Dubracek spots his run really well, puts him through on the left. Hadžiahmetović comes in to defend. Bujalski cuts him out, lofts in across, and it's Voloshin ultimately who heads it home from very short range. Mert almost got to it, but it was just too close for him to really have a chance, and it was 2-2 after 65 minutes, and at that point it really was the momentum swinging towards Dynamo Kiev at that point, because around the 70th minute we see a whole bunch of attempts coming from the home side. In the 70th minute, Shaparenko receives it on the edge of the area and tries his luck, but Mert makes a good save. And then in the 74th minute, Rashishka does really well to hold off two of Dynamo Kiev's defenders and then puts it in towards Rozier, who has an attempt at goal, but he really doesn't trouble the goalkeeper Bouchan, who saves it comfortably. Then just a minute later, another combination between Bujalski and Karavayev that ends up with Bujalski having a shot at goal, but Mert saves it, pushes it wide, doesn't hold on to it though, so it was still possibility to spill into somebody's feet, but we ultimately cleared the ball, so no real danger afterwards. But another warning from Dynamo Kiev in the 75th minute. Then Jetson Fernandes gives Dynamo Kiev a lot of problems when he starts chasing down a ball that really seemed lost. Initially he wins it, I believe it was from Diallo, he just steals it away from him, but the ball bounces away quite far. One of Dynamo Kiev's defenders seemed to be easily getting to it first, but somehow Jetson manages to pull out an incredible sprint, chases down the ball, beats the defender to it, and then goes one-on-one with Bouchan, but his final touch just leaves Jetson down a little bit, which forces him to go out wide a little bit too much, closing down the angle toward goal, which just tipped the scales towards the goalkeeper, and he made a good save on Jetson's effort. Then in the 84th minute, Amartey blocks off a shot from Shaparenko. The ball falls to Bujalski, who we've heard of plenty in this game already, and he has a shot at goal, but it flies into the stands, fortunately for us. Good chance again for Dynamo Kiev. Then just 3 minutes later in the 87th minute, Dynamo Kiev continue to pile on the pressure, and in their search for a late winner, Bujalski again tries his luck from distance, but Mert this time makes a very good save. Then we have to wait until the third minute of stoppage time, where we see another opportunity for Dynamo Kiev. Amartey loses the ball. We didn't really see how it happened, because on the broadcast they were still showing a replay at the time, but the commentators seemed quite underwhelmed by Amartey's performance there. A little bit of a brain fart, it seemed, or it sounded like. Sidorchuk wins the ball from Amartey, and he comes rushing up the field for a very dangerous counter-attack, but Omar Colley does brilliantly to, in the final moments, pick out the pass, or block the pass rather, that Sidorchuk was going to play through on, I think it was Karavayev, but I'm not 100% sure, it might have been Bujalski, but that pass would have put Dynamo Kiev's player one-on-one with Mert, but a very good interception from Omar Colley there. For some reason the commentator said "Bravo Jetson" at that moment, or just before that moment, I'm not quite sure why. I looked at the replay, I looked at it in great detail. Yeah, Jetson does a good sprint and kind of tries to close down the passing lane, but doesn't really. There's still a wide open passing lane there, and it's really all Omar Colley who made a fantastic block there to cut out that pass, because otherwise they would just have a one-on-one opportunity. The ball does bounce up and Sidorchuk does rifle it towards goal and almost catches Mert off guard, because Mert is kind of far off his line, but he does manage to catch it and doesn't waste any time, immediately puts the ball back into play. The ball ends up with Bakhtiyor Zainutdinov, and he does keep his head cool, finds Rashica on the right side, really good through ball, very well weighted pass, and Rashica then cuts it back, cuts out his direct opponent and puts it back into towards the oncoming Zainutdinov. I am not 100% sure if Rashica was really trying to find Zainutdinov there, because Cenk is also has also come out at this point, and you can see that Cenk is taking up position a little bit further on, and one of Dynamo Kiev's defenders kind of blocks the pass from Rashica, but it ends up in Zainutdinov's foot. He controls it really well with his left, then slots it home with his right. It's a really, really smooth finish, like almost like a little, it was really brilliant. Like the pass itself to set up Rashica on the right was already really good, but then the control with his left and the finish straight away with his right, it just gives Dynamo Kiev's defenders no chance to react, no chance to attempt to block. It surprises the goalkeeper, and Zainutdinov on his debut sends the Beşiktaş fans into a delirium with that late winner. And you gotta give credit where credit's due, Şenol Güneş. I think we all thought beforehand when we saw the lineup, what is he thinking? Why is he starting with Onur on the wing again? He has Rashica now. I think everyone was expecting Rashica to start. And don't get me wrong, Rashica came in later and played a key role in the win. But Onur played a good game. He was instrumental in the first half. He put the cross in that led to the first big chance of the match that Aboubakar nearly scored, and that Salih should have always put away on the rebound. He then also put in the cross that led to the penalty in the first half. So we have to give credit there to Onur's performance, but also Şenol Güneş, who decided to start with Onur over Rashica. And I think it was almost reminiscent of the win away at Napoli. I jokingly said to a friend on Twitter beforehand, shades of Napoli are loading, basically, because if you remember in the Napoli game, he also started with Adriano on the wing rather than an actual winger. And he did the same thing here with Onur again. And I think everyone was a little, maybe less so upset then, because it was Adriano, and Adriano was a really good footballer, of course, but people were a little upset now as well, including myself, that it was Onur starting there than Rashica, who had come on the weekend and looked really ready to start. He looked fit and ready, unlike Rebic, who hasn't looked super fit yet. Rashica looked ready. And then you expect, after, what was it, 6 games, which we've been basically forced to play a fullback on the wing, that he, now that he has a fit winger, that he's going to start that. With that winger, but he didn't. And you know, beforehand, myself included, we all looked critical at that decision, but it works out. And ultimately, of course, you know, you win that game kind of on a steal. You have to give credit to Dynamo Kiev, who were definitely the better side in the second half, but we do win that game kind of on a steal. But at the end of the day, only the result really truly counts. The team looked good at times, but still I am a little bit worried about the return. Like, Dynamo Kiev certainly aren't dead in the water. At no point in this game did they look like they were on the ropes truly. They were always ready to fire back, and I think if it wasn't for the fact that we scored in the fourth minute of stoppage time, they might have gotten back into this game once again. So a really good result for us. Undoubtedly, it's a fantastic result. It puts us into the driver's seat for the return on Thursday, but we can't fool ourselves in thinking that this tie is over already. Especially in the second half, we saw a lot of deficiencies defensively. Dynamo Kiev came and attacked and cut through us multiple times. The way they scored 3 goals. Okay, one was disallowed, but those 3 goals, the way they scored them, really showed some defensive vulnerabilities. In the first half, I thought we looked really good, but then when Masuaku was forced to come off at halftime due to his thigh injury, we saw that losing Masuaku in that back line really has a big impact. Zainutdinov came on in the second half. I thought he was criticized really heavily, both by the commentators and by the fans. He was kind of blamed for the goal that got disallowed, which was totally not on him. There's really nothing he could have done about that, because Hadzia Mitrović kind of tries to head it away, and it ends up with Karavayev, who has a really good first touch and then just slams it home. There's not much Zainutdinov could have done about that. But then he also gets blamed for the actual equalizer, in which, you know, you do have to say he got lured in a little bit too easily. He got dummied. Karavayev then played a good back heel and 1-2 combination. I don't really think that was that bad defending necessarily. I mean, sure, it wasn't great, but you have to look at the rest of the team as well. It's kind of a domino effect, right? Like, Zainutdinov doesn't do great there, but if you look at all the space that is left for Shaparenko to get a shot off, like, there's nobody in that zone covering that oncoming number 10. I mean, it's Dynamo Kiev's number 10 that's just left completely alone and has all the space in the world to shoot. That's not just on Zainutdinov, that's on the entire team as a collective. But you can see Masuaku is a leader on the pitch. He's a leader of that back line. And when he's not playing, that is something we immediately notice and feel. And he won't be playing on Thursday, because this thigh strain is going to keep him out for at least 2 weeks, maybe longer, let's hope not. But that means he'll miss the match on Thursday, and he'll also miss the game on the weekend against Sivasspor. So we'll be having to do without him, and against Dynamo Kiev, which is a really dangerous opponent, that might be something that comes back to haunt us. We felt it already in this game in the second half that we didn't have Masuaku, and we won't have him for 90 minutes on Thursday, of course. But I'm going to throw over the microphone to Andrew Todos, who is returning this week with his input on the game. He's going to reflect on Dynamo's performance on Thursday and what he expects for this coming week, and I'll be back with some more thoughts and news afterwards.
With regards to Dynamo, in the first leg, I think they impressed. Going forward, that is Mykola Shaparenko, who's obviously scored that banger. Alexander Karavayev, in particular, the standout with his display down that right wing, getting the goal that was disallowed, linking up well with Bielski. Bielski, another one who's always been a danger from Dynamo's perspective. Him turning up and showing how it's done. However, I feel that the main issues with Dynamo are certainly defensively. The two centre-backs did not impress per se, and the full-backs, whilst they are quite good going forward, they lack defensive qualities at the back, and also defensive midfielder Sidorchuk, the captain, he probably could have had a better game himself, especially towards the end of the game when he went on, when he went for like a sort of a looping volley shot that he probably should have just tried to keep the hold of the ball a bit more, especially in added time, I think, whenever it was. And then he tried to do some sort of weird back heel spin pass that went straight to a Besiktas player, and then they broke. So there are problems, especially in defence, from a Dynamo perspective, but it's good that they at least scored two goals in that first leg. And I mean, you compare it to Besiktas, I feel that there might be a few similarities, to be honest. They looked pretty good going forward, but similarly, there are problems at the back, and maybe that's to do with coherency. I know that there's a lot of new players at Besiktas. They probably haven't fully worked together yet, they haven't gelled, so that probably will take a while to get used to. And obviously, we don't have a while, we've got until Thursday. And we saw that there are weaknesses from Dynamo. They couldn't hold out for the draw until, you know, the full sort of 98 minutes, however long it was. And now they have to chase a lead, albeit a small one-goal deficit. But going to Besiktas, going to Istanbul, it's going to be a much more intense atmosphere, a much more hostile atmosphere than it was in Bucharest last week, which is the one that Dynamo should have taken advantage of. I would say even a draw maybe would have made it a bit more even footing. And I feel that what we're going to see is certainly we'll see more goals just on the basis of how both teams are defensively and sort of structurally. It just means who can score more. And just looking at how Dinamo are at the moment, they just don't seem to be able to hold out too well. So we'll see how it goes. I'm not overly optimistic, just because of the fact that this second leg is the away leg, in inverted commas, and I feel that it's going to be a very difficult match. However, Dinamo have had preparation. They have not played their UPL game on the weekend. That was postponed. So they've had sort of full preparation for this second leg. And we'll see what happens. Luchescu's already making a few excuses, you know, comparing Besiktas's foreign players as being a lot better and sort of stronger than the current crop that he has to select from, because they're all from Dinamo's academy. So I'm sure that whatever happens on Thursday, there'll probably be more of those. But let's see what happens.
And thank you again, Andrew, for your contribution to the podcast. That's the third time Andrew has appeared on the show, and I hope that he'll do so again in the future if we ever face a Ukrainian opponent, or maybe transfer somebody from the Ukrainian Premier League. But now let's get to some more notes that I have on this game. So, great result, of course. We can't deny that. Like Andrew said, and like I said earlier as well, I do think that this tie is very much still alive. It's definitely not over yet. We saw a lot of positives from Dinamo Kiev going forward. We saw a lot of positives from Besiktas going forward. It was a good game to watch. It was one of those classics. Let's hope that the 2-3 victory for us will prove to be one of those classical moments we'll remember and look back on, like the Napoli away game, like all those away games in the Champions League under Şenol Güneş that we have very fond memories of. Let's hope this one also remains a fond memory and doesn't end up tasting sour in our mouth because we flubbed it in the return leg like we did against Club Brugge and stuff like that in the Europa League years ago. Let's focus on the notes I have here still from the game. Masuaku unfortunately has a thigh injury. As I already said, he will be out for 2 to 4 weeks, and that means he will miss at least the game against Dinamo Kiev on Thursday and the game against Sivasspor on the weekend. Then we have to talk a little bit about Zainotino's performance, his debut. He was criticized early on when he came on because he was being blamed for the goal, the equalizer, the 1-1. Then he was shifted to left midfield. Umut Meraş came on. And then, of course, he scored that fantastic goal at the end. So I think really positive, ultimately, for Zainotdinov. He could have ended up like Onana after the full-time whistle if he doesn't score that goal, I think. Then if he doesn't, then you're going to have the whole toxic Twitter banter that is very negative, really, unfortunately, where people draw conclusions on new signings after just a couple of minutes. I do think you have to keep in mind he got basically trusted into this game. He's barely trained with the team. Then he doesn't have any chemistry yet with most of the players. He just gets thrown into the match in a very difficult situation, difficult circumstances against a tough opposition. Did he look great on the equalizer? No, he didn't. But did he look lazy? Did he look lackluster? Did he do anything really wrong? Like, was there a big blunder? Of course not. Like, he stepped in, tried to challenge for the ball, didn't get it. Karavayev plays a very good back heel. That makes Zainotdinov start off on the back foot, and then he basically has to chase him down. It's not like he was tardy, lazy to chase him down. He went for it, just couldn't get there on time. And like I said already in my match review, there's really way too much space left open there for Shaparenko to come in, and that has nothing to do with Zainotdinov. But he sort of redeems himself. He goes from zero to hero at the end, and I think he did everything perfectly on that play. He receives the ball really well off of that long play by Mert. Then he plays through Rasichka, he spots the run, he weighs the ball off perfectly. Like, it's not just spotting that run, it's also giving that pass. And I think we've seen a lot, for example, with Jetson, for example, that he sees the passing lane and then he gives the ball, but then his pass isn't good. And with Zainuddinov here, he saw the run, he gave the perfect ball, Gazdziszka did well, cut back, played it in, but then Zainuddinov, the way he controls that ball initially with his left foot and then just finishes it with his right foot, it was really, really fantastic. I think it was a really good play by him, and it shows the quality that he has and the potential that he has for us. Let's hope he can keep it up and carry this onward, but this is going to give him a great boost of confidence, and I think also it's going to give Şenol Güneş confidence in him. Unfortunately for Zainuddinov, I think he'll have to start on left back on Thursday. I don't know if Şenol has that same confidence in Umut Meriç, and I think Zainuddinov's performance will probably see to it that he'll start on Thursday, although don't be surprised if it's Umut. But I would expect Zainuddinov to start, but having him start on the left back position, well, clearly I think we haven't seen much of him yet, but what we've seen, I think, is that Zainuddinov is more of an offensive player. Yes, he's played matches as a left wing back, he's played matches as a center back, but you can see that his instincts and his qualities are more leaning towards being an offensive player. So on Thursday, we'll see. Hopefully, he puts in another good performance and can continue to convince the fans that he was worth the money. Then let's talk a little bit about Gazdziszka's performance. I wasn't super impressed by Gazdziszka. I thought he worked hard, as you would come to expect of Gazdziszka. He was very keen in taking on his opponent a few times. He didn't get that many opportunities to do it, but when he did, he was keen on taking on his opponent. He worked hard, like I said, but then ultimately he did put the cherry on the top of the on the cake, so to speak, by giving that assist and did really well. Another point or two that I didn't really touch on too much yet is Cenk's return. Of course, after 2.5 months suffering an injury at the end of last season, he's made his return now to the pitch, and he came on, didn't do a lot in the game, but it's good to see Cenk back. Hopefully he can return to full fitness so we can start enjoying his goals again soon. Another thing that kind of goes hand in hand with Cenk's return is that Rebic didn't get any minutes in this game. Hopefully he comes to full fitness soon so that he becomes a useful pawn for Şenol Güneş to use in our matches. Then let's talk about Muleka's performance briefly. Despite Muleka winning the penalty, I really didn't like his performance in this match. Especially in the first half, I was very agitated by the lack of pressure he put on Dynamo Kiev's players. It didn't just feel like it was. Abubakar was constantly trying to put some pressure on their defenders, not allowing them too much time on the ball. Same with the goalkeeper. But Muleka, every time I was looking at him, when I was thinking to myself, put pressure on the ball, he just ran back to his position, just slowly jogged around. And I felt like he was jogging around the pitch the entire game. I know it was really hot in Bucharest on Thursday, but I would really come to expect from Muleka that he's constantly chasing down every ball. I think if he would do that like Jetson does, I think he'd get at least on a season 3-4 goals out of it, and just the optics of it would be so much in his favor. I think if he was constantly chasing down balls and constantly putting pressure on the opposition, okay, it might impact his sharpness in the final third a little bit in a negative way, but I just think that optically he should be running constantly putting pressure. That's the only way he can win over the fans. I feel like quality wise don't get me wrong, I like Muleka. I think Muleka has a lot of upside. I am starting to slowly come to the conclusion that, okay, maybe Muleka isn't quite up to it for our level. But I think Muleka, if he takes a step down, that doesn't necessarily need to mean like a league that's a step down, but like a lower level of a club at our level. Like, for example, Kasım Paşa, where he did brilliantly. I'm very convinced that Muleka is a quality player for that level. For us, I think, especially on the wing, it's not really what we need, but Muleka isn't a garbage player. If you think he's a garbage player, I don't think you have paid proper attention to what he's done at Kasım Paşa and what he sometimes does show when he plays for us. Like, for the right team, he could be of fantastic value. I do think that therefore he is also worth something to us. I think it's probably best for us to move him on to another club, whether it be on loan with an option to buy. I would never make it an obligation, because if you make it an obligation, you can't set the option that high, I believe. And I do think that Muleka, if he does well abroad, he could go for 6-7 million. I think if you loan him out and you put the option at 4 or 5 million, you're making a mistake. Like, what's the point, right? Let him go out and put himself in the spotlight at another club, maybe at a little bit of a lower level, a club that plays more counter-attacking football, something like that. And then you can get something out of him. Give them an option to buy, but put the option high enough so that they can't just say, oh yeah, he did okay, let's trigger it straight away for a fee that is very close to what we ultimately paid. But for Beşiktaş, I think the conclusion is slowly becoming that, okay, Muleka has shown glimpses here and there, but he just isn't what we need. But I do believe if he would put in more effort, more work, if he would show more work rate, I think he'd be it could be different. Because I think that if when a player is lacking a little bit, like a Kyle Larin, for example, I don't think Muleka is any worse than Larin, not at all. I think Larin just worked harder. Like, I don't recall ever thinking of Larin, oh, he's just jogging on the pitch and he's not putting pressure where he needs to put pressure. I think many of Larin's goals came because he chased down balls that were seemingly lost. And that's what I'm lacking from Muleka right now. I expect a player like Muleka, who might be a little lacking in the talent department at our level, to just put in more effort. And that's going to get him goals, and it's going to build up some credit with the fans. And it could be different for him. But yeah, he's not doing those things. And it's never really jumped out to me as much. But in this game, it really annoyed me. And I was happy when he came off, despite the fact that he won the penalty. Then I already talked about the fact that Rebic didn't really get any minutes. Jetson put in a fantastic performance. Of course, he was all over the place again in a positive way, not in a negative way. I know people sometimes say that in a negative way, that the player is all over the place, but he was just all over the place in a good way. Just covering every inch of grass. And that one run where he almost scored, where he puts pressure on that defender, that just epitomizes what Jetson has been for us. He's the engine on our midfield, and, you know, we're talking about getting a creative midfielder, right? And I just don't know how that's going to work, because Hadži Ahmetović has been great. He wasn't great in this game, to be fair. He didn't look great on both goals. On the first one, that's not true, actually. That's a disallowed goal, but on the disallowed goal, he didn't look great. He's basically the one that creates the chance for Karavayev with that poor header. And then on the 2-2, he's the one that Bielski cuts out really too easily and allows him to center the ball. But Hadži Ahmetović overall has been fantastic for us. Jetson has been fantastic. I think Salih's been playing good, but I wouldn't say he's been fantastic. And if you look at that midfield three, the one player you'd take out would be Salih. Unfortunately, Salih is a Turk, and we have that requirement to play 3 Turks in the league, which makes it really difficult to not include Salih in the lineup. So, I don't know, we really need that creative midfielder or a creative winger. We need a creative player. I personally think it'd be better to put him on the wing, that creative player, to have an advanced playmaker, because I think if you buy a midfielder, you're just going to have a massive headache. Like, you're not gonna bench Jetson, you're not gonna bench Hadži Ahmetović, and benching Salih is very difficult unless you somehow get a Turk like Yusuf Yazici, for example. But of course, there's difficulties with that because of his clause in his contract, where if he would be sold to a Turkish club, Lille would have to pay a fine of 20 million or something ridiculous. So there's not many options in that regard. That's just a headache for Şenol Güneş. I'm just happy I don't have to deal with it. Then the tandem Amartey-Colli, I thought it looks really good in this game, especially in the first half. I thought Amartey did really well. Colli, as always, was amazing. Defensively, Amartey's build-up from the back is good. His defending was really good today. We already saw that Amartey's build-up was good against Pendik, but we didn't see him really get tested defensively. In this game, we saw him get tested defensively, and he did really well right up until the end, because when we score the 2-3, Amartey, we don't see what happens, but judging by the reaction from the commentators, had a serious brain fart and gave the ball away in a very dangerous position, almost leading to a really good opportunity for Kiev. So yes, Amartey looked good in this game, I thought, did really well defensively, but then he had that one moment where we don't know what happened because we couldn't see it, but it seems that he had a brain fart. And you know, that's kind of what Leicester fans were saying about him as well. And yeah, that might be the reason as well why we are still looking for a new central defender. Then finally, some good news. Rashid Ghezal and Semih Kılıçsoy are both back into individual training. So Ghezal, earlier, a couple of days ago, it was said that he is probably going to be in the match day squad for Sivasspor. We'll have to wait and see, but seeing Ghezal back in training is always good. Hopefully he'll be back on time for the Sivasspor game, but of course you don't want to rush him back. Other than that, I don't really have all that much to say. I already touched on it briefly earlier, that there isn't too much transfer news going on right now. Something hot off the press, though, as I was recording this episode, is that Francisco Montero looks to be off on loan. But of course, we'll have to wait and see and get confirmation on that. But supposedly, he is off on loan to Portugal, and he will be joining Arouca, I believe it is. The Portuguese side, Arouca, according to TRT Sport. So let's wait and see if that actually happens, but of course that would free up another foreign spot. I'm personally a little disappointed that we didn't get to see anything of Montero this summer. I know I'm not the only one who likes Montero. I think there's a lot of Beşiktaş fans who like Montero, and the lack of chances he's gotten, I don't quite understand. He's young, he's 24 years old still. There's plenty of upside to him, you would think. But he just isn't getting the opportunities. He didn't play much on the Ismail either. And then, of course, he got loaned out. And then Chanel just hasn't batted an eyelash at him. And unfortunately, that means he'll probably be loaned out. We never really paid a big transfer fee for him, but I do believe that Atletico Madrid still retained 50% of his rights, so whatever we ultimately end up getting, we'll only get half of it. But other than that, there isn't really much to say. Serjan Dikmet had some stuff to say the other day. One thing that some of you might not be too excited about is that Mason Greenwood has apparently been offered to Beşiktaş, through agents, and of course that would be a PR disaster, I think we can all agree on, although I do get the sense that the Turkish Beşiktaş fans, at least, or people in Turkey, don't really seem to care all too much about the whole situation revolving around Greenwood, and they're just excited about a good, talented player like him potentially coming to the club. Now, if you look at it in a vacuum and you put all that negative PR stuff aside, would I want Mason Greenwood at Beşiktaş? Of course, you'd be a fool to say no to a talented player like that, but you can't just ignore the things that have happened around him over the last year or so. He's been accused of attempted rape, domestic abuse. There's pictures of that. Of course, we don't have video proof or anything of him beating his girlfriend or anything, but still, you know, there's pictures that she posted online. There's a video clip that's quite graphic that she posted online where he basically is forcing himself on her. I'm not going to get involved in people's personal lives. Their personal lives are their own. I personally feel that those types of things should not be put on the internet. Like, I don't really understand why people would do that. Like, there's some malice in that, even though they're still together, she's pregnant of his baby, all that stuff. I don't want to start a whole thing about it, but it's not necessarily a good look for Beşiktaş if we were to sign him. Of course, as a footballer, he is extremely talented. He's still very, very young. He's only 21. He's turning 22. He's a very talented player. That's not something we can dispute. But is it worth the PR headache? Probably not, right? Then some other news from Sercan Dikme is that Beşiktaş could finish the transfer window with one or three transfers, is what he said. The defender transfer seems to be the main priority, and it continues to baffle me and a lot of other Beşiktaş fans. Like, I understand that they want someone like Roman Saiz, like a leader in the, at the back. Of course, we have Masuaku, who is also a leader, I think. But they want somebody in the middle of the defense that is really a leader figure. Colley is a great defender, but maybe not necessarily that leader they are looking for. And then Amarte really isn't that either. I mean, Amarte has his qualities, we've already seen, but he isn't like that, as Turks like to call it, Baba defender. And that's really what they want, it seems. So that's what the focus is on right now. But we're seeing more and more signs of there being a realization that there is a need for that creative player. Now, whether that's a midfielder or a winger, that's left to be seen. Like I said before, the transfer window in Turkey is open 2 weeks longer than the transfer window in France, in Spain, in Italy, in England, and in Germany. So there's going to be some opportunities, probably players that didn't manage to find a way out or a club from those top leagues that are going to become available, and probably for less money than they would have been 2 weeks earlier. So I fully expect Beşiktaş to still make a move in that offensive compartment of the pitch as well. So hopefully we can find the right profile of a player, because I do really think that if we want to be successful this season, both in Europe and in the league, that doesn't necessarily need to mean that you win the league or you win a cup in Europe. But, you know, like going to the quarterfinals or the semifinals in the Conference League is a success, no doubt. Doing well in the league means qualifying for Europe next season. You know, we could do really well and win the league, but let's be honest, our two rivals have gone absolutely bonkers on the transfer market this season. And if they click, you would imagine they'll finish above us. Although having the best players on paper doesn't always mean that you have a good team, and we definitely have a good team already, but we just need to find that final piece of the puzzle, which I think is the creative player rather than quote-unquote Baba defender. Let's wait and see. I'll be back after the match on Thursday with another episode. Probably it'll be until after the Sivasspor game, so I can do two games at once for you. And then hopefully with some transfer news in the near future. But until then, I'll see you on the next episode of the Black Eagles podcast. And go Beşiktaş!
Ortayı yaptı. Sikti. Gol. 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 Maç boyunca durdu, şimdi attı. Abubakar attı. Abubakar. Abubakar. Abubakar.